Hello, everybody listening to Dirty Linen. It is your host, Danny Vallant here. I know I don't normally say that, but yeah, it's me. So I thought I would start by saying hello. One thing I would also like to tell you is that we have started doing a newsletter at the Deep in the Weeds Network. It comes out every fortnight and it's pretty fun. There is content there that you will not find anywhere else. Little bits of news from each of the podcasters across the network, and we have even been giving things away. So you don't want to miss it. Head to the socials at Dirty Linen or the Deep in the Weeds website and sign up. We will not spam you. We will just send you an interesting newsletter once a fortnight. So on to today's show. We are going back and looking forward. One of the most popular things we've ever done on Dirty Linen was to follow the story of the opening of Short Grain Restaurant in Brisbane, Martin Burt's Thai restaurant back in his hometown. We stuck with him while he travelled the highs and lows of the build, all the decisions he had to make and the opening. It's been some months now since he opened the doors and we thought we need to find out what has been going on. Welcome back to Dirty Linen, Marty.
Hello, and thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Certainly one of my favourite guests ever. You shared so openly with us about opening your restaurant. How long has it been now?
7 months. 7 months, I think, just a few days ago.
Wow. And where do we even begin? Has it been 7 months of joy, 7 months of pain? Has it been unremitting delight for yourself and your guests? How is it all going?
I think I'm obviously, you know, up a bit bumpy at the beginning, just with a whole new team, no one that I'd worked with before. So that was sort of a big hurdle. And then we got into it and lost a few on the way, and but now 7 months down the track, I can honestly say we've got a good team and we're flowing really well. And I'm just looking to make it better and every day. And the staff are really loving being there. And as I said, what I wanted to do, probably in one of the podcasts, is create a little family, and that's what has started to happen, and it's really good because that's something that's really important to me, because we are working together 5 days a week and pretty closely. So it's been a real joy to have some great people come and want to be there all the time, and it just makes it easier for everyone, really, because everyone's there for one reason, and to give good service, and also feed people and give them good food.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear that you're creating the space that you envisaged in the beginning. I mean, for people who perhaps didn't stick with us for that journey, tell us what Short Grain is.
Short Grain is a restaurant in Brisbane. It's in Fortitude Valley. It seats 60 people. Originally, my plan was to open an eatery with like a little Asian food store. The restaurant's an L shape, so the long part of the L was going to be the dining room or the eatery, and then the bottom part to one side was going to be the food store with curry paste and vegetables and bits and pieces. And look, I still would like to do that sort of shoppy thing one day, but it just turned out to be, when I saw it finished, everyone said, Marty, this is not an eatery and you're better off making the restaurant a little bit bigger, because you probably will need more bums on seats. So it just turned into a big restaurant. Well, it just turned into a very good-sized restaurant.
I mean, how do you feel about that? Because I suppose, you know, one of the things that people talk about now more than ever is, you know, those sort of multiple income streams and, you know, having different ways that people can engage with you as a business. You've sort of narrowed it down to, I suppose, you know, your heart and soul, which is feeding people in a restaurant. Do you have any sort of misgivings, or is it just, you know, it just feels right?
To me, it feels right. I think we really needed the space as well, because we originally I didn't want to take bookings, and then we took bookings, which we do now always, and we do give a two-hour period for people to dine, and sometimes people overlap that and people are waiting, so it's a great place for people to wait. It's also, there's also a big round table in the shop, which would have been the shop area. So that seats a table of 8 to 10. And so that's pretty busy all the time. And then we've got some little bar tables there as well, so people can go and sit there and either wait for their table to come up, or we transfer people to the bar and they can have dessert there. And usually if we have to kick them off a table, we do actually offer them dessert on us, because sometimes people are a bit annoyed that they have to leave the table. But, you know, people are having a good time, and we certainly don't want to kick you out of the restaurant, unfortunately. You know, it's not huge, like that big, but we can certainly accommodate people in that area, and it's good to have that on offer. And I think if I did the shop, that wouldn't have been there, because it would have been shelving and bits and pieces. So, really happy that it's gone in that direction.
Are there any decisions that you made along the way, Marty, that that you wish you'd done differently given this change of direction?
Well, I could have I'm really glad that I didn't put in a big cool room in the shop area, because I sort of got rid of that sort of idea early, and I put in two different fridges that sat in a wall with joinery around them, and they are now used for wine backup fridges, which is great because we don't have a lot of back-of-house storage for wine. And I suppose I love – when you walk in, there's a really big bench there, and it was gifted to me by Boffy Studio in Melbourne, because it was an old showroom piece, and I really wanted that to be a big part of the restaurant, which it is. The only thing – is that it would be nice to be able to sit people around it at the end. We do sit people there, but you have to sit side saddle. And some people get it and some people don't. So I probably maybe would have left an extension which it had on it, which you could actually sit around. And I chopped that off because it was a bit too long. So anyway, that's probably the only thing, really.
And what about the menu? You know, customers sort of tell you what they want, you know. Have you had to refashion your dishes for Brisbane or for, you know, the current times, or did you nail it first go?
No, it was a menu with different sections. Like, it had entrees, mains and desserts, and I had it on like a folded menu, and now it's just one list sort of going from lighter to heavier. And then we have a few specials on every day, and that seems to work. So that idea was going to be more about the Sunday lunchy vibe, but then I just thought, you know what, this works, and that's sort of how we've kept going. And there's 16 dishes plus 4 desserts, and that seems to be enough.
Interesting. And so how are customers using the restaurant? What's the vibe? Like, how are people coming in and using Short Grain for their occasions?
Yeah, they're using it for I have to say we do have a lot of regular customers, and I have to thank them for we love having our regulars come back all the time. I think we've had the tire kickers through. So, and some people just didn't get the sharing situation, and that the portions weren't enough to share between two. And that's something I still am trying to say to people. If you want to come to Short Grain, it doesn't have to be an occasion. You can come in, have a curry, have a bowl of rice and 2 glasses of wine, and you can get out of there for under $100 for two. And there's not a lot of restaurants that you can do that in, where you're sharing one main course. And I suppose that's something that I want to push to people as well. So, yeah, that's something that is important, but the clientele, it's not the Instagram crowd, it's more sort of over, well, it's a range, but our main clientele, I believe, are over 35, sort of 35 to 70, and it's people that have had their family or are having, you know, they've had their children, they're going out for dinner, they want good service, they want good food, they want value for money. And they're getting it. So that's why I believe that we're getting a lot of repeat customers.
Oh, so interesting. Have you had anyone come in that heard you on the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a few actually. And a lady the other day, and I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name, but she's a Melbourne lady and it was her birthday. And she came up, but this was, I think, on Friday night, just gone. And she was with a friend that she came to visit from Melbourne. And anyway, I said hello to her, and her friend said, "Oh, this is my friend. I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. That has come up especially to dine at Short Grain because she listened to all of the podcasts." And she said, "I love Danny Vallant. She is my favourite food person. I've always listened to her and read anything that you've written." So she's a big fan of yours, Danny. And she loved the podcast so much, and it's the only place she wanted to go to in Brisbane, and she had a lovely time.
Oh my goodness.
And I gave her a Short Grain candle on the way out for her birthday.
You have candles? Oh, yeah. That is so nice. How absolutely delightful. And I'm so glad that the podcast has sent some people your way.
Oh, other people, lots of other people too. I can't remember everyone, but definitely people that listened to it, and they came in and said to me that they were so amazed that I was so honest. And also a restaurant in London called Somsa, they were opening another restaurant. I think I might have mentioned this one. They'd opened another restaurant, and because I told was saying something about having no plugs in the kitchen, I was really happy that I worked out that they had not put any plugs on the benches, and so I rectified that with the electrician, and they said we had the same problem, and that it's because we listened to that podcast that we actually checked, and there wasn't any plugged on our benches either.
You are saving restaurants all around the world. That is so good, Marty. I love that. You've opened Short Grain at a particularly tricky time in hospitality. It's never easy, but we've been hearing a lot of tough stories on this podcast and across the network from restaurants that are doing it really tough. You know, costs are rising, customers are watching what they spend. How have you been impacted by this societal-wide situation?
I don't know if it's hitting Brisbane that hard, but I think we've been really busy. There's only one service, Thursday lunches, that are a bit of a dud, but the rest of all the services that we're open are really good. And as I said to you just a minute ago, I really want to put in people's heads that don't think it's an occasion restaurant. Come in, have a bowl of curry, have a rice, have a scoop of sorbet and go. You know, I want to make it accessible, and there's wines on the list that aren't all over $100, and it's, yeah, it's something that I think it's about sharing and feeling comfortable that you can do that without thinking, oh, they're going to think that we don't have any money if we don't order enough food. And it's like, well, that's, no one's going to judge you for that. I mean, you're coming in to eat and have some fun, have a laugh and go. So I don't know. There's a lot of restaurants opening in Brisbane. There's a lot of restaurants still opening in Sydney that I see on Instagram and stuff. So I think I got in at a really good time, but I still feel, yeah, I know that it would be hard to open if you didn't have some sort of following from before, which I do and did. And there's a lot of Sydney people that live in Brisbane that used to go to Long Grain, and we've had so many through. And thank you again for all the stories that you've shared about your Long Grain times or experiences, because it just makes me happy that I must have impacted all, you know, Long Grain, not me, but Long Grain and Long Grain's food and Long Grain's drinks really impacted all a lot of people, and everyone's got such great memories of it. So yeah, it's lovely to have that and those people come into the restaurant and share their stories.
Oh, that's so wonderful that legacy has an ongoing impact. As I hear stories from people, their restaurants are busy, but when they pay everyone out at the end of the week, there's not anything left. But do you feel like is it that you've got your pricing sorted out? Is it that costs have stayed a little bit more manageable in Queensland? What do you think it is?
Oh, I'm really not. I believe that. High wage costs, high food cost is a big factor. And sometimes I oversee the pricing of the food that we serve. But sometimes when you actually work it out and you say, okay, we've got to charge $88, for example, for this curry, it's like, are you fucking kidding? Oh, sorry. Are you kidding? And but people pay. People will pay it. So I have to shut my mouth because sometimes it's just the way it is and it's just how much it costs if I choose to use the products that I'm used to using, like expensive fish or different meats or whatever. And the fish in Queensland, I have to say, is really expensive considering we're in Queensland.
So, yeah, so you just do the costings and you just charge what you need to charge.
We have to. We really have to. I cringed at the beginning, but I'm sort of letting that go now because, I've got to really put that across as it's shared. Like there's enough for four. If it's an $88 curry, there's usually 160, 180 grams of fish in there, plus there's vegetables, plus there's sauce, plus there's beautiful basil and whatever, and then you're eating it with rice. It's enough. You can get full on. You can fill up on that. It's only $44 a person, and that's how much a main course is in a restaurant if you're eating a singular dish, if not more.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I guess what I'm hearing is that you're creating the food that you want to create and you're just standing behind what it costs, and because you've got this following and because people have had a good experience and they're coming back, they trust you.
Yeah, and I'm on the floor too, so I'm working as a waiter or as a food, I've demoted myself to a food runner, and I'm not going to serve food that I'm not happy with or I'm embarrassed about. So I mean, that would be the last thing that I'd want to do. Everything that comes out of that kitchen is usually seen by me, unless I'm talking to somebody. So anyway, that's sort of how it's working. And I also going to that part of letting people that you've employed do their jobs. It's something that I really had to let the head chef Danny do, because if I was in there, I would sort of probably override him and then he wouldn't be doing what I employed him to do. So I've just got to let that, kitchen run itself, even though I'm guiding it. But yeah, that's sort of how that's working. And it's also hard. It's hard for me, I when they get slammed or something, it's hard for me not to be able to go in there and help them. I have to just watch and let them do their thing, and they get through it. And sometimes I wouldn't do it the way that they would be doing it, but that's okay because everyone's got their different styles of kitchen, the way they work a kitchen. So I can't be standing on the other side screaming orders when I've got a head chef right in front of me and he's doing how he likes to do it. So it's very important that I'm learning. I need to learn that lesson, and I'm learning it.
Wow, it's so interesting. I mean, what else has occupied you from a staffing point of view and the way the rhythm of front of house and back of house? You mentioned you had a few soldiers drop along the way. Is it just not the right fit, or did you realise that you needed people with different skills or experience?
Found it really hard to get somebody to work behind the bar. But we have somebody now, Hannah. She's fantastic. Unfortunately, she's only got a small time frame to work with us, but she, and the reason I gave her I employed her is because the magic words were, I'd love to work here. I will replace myself before I go with somebody as good as me. And I said, you got the job, doll. Not a problem. And she is actively looking for somebody to replace her. She's got another 6 weeks to go. So I'm pretty confident that she'll replace herself. And we had a few managers that didn't work out, like restaurant managers, unfortunately. But I have a great girl now, Bree, and she's fantastic. So I'm really happy with her. It's an all-girl floor. We don't have any male waiters except for me, who's the food runner.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
I think the most important thing about a restaurant really is that it knows what it's trying to do and that it's able to execute it. But I think the comfort that you feel as a diner in walking into a place where the intention is clear really carries you a long way. Do you feel like that's something you went into Short Grain with, just with that deep knowledge about what it was, what you wanted to deliver, or is it something that you're still working out as you go?
I knew in my heart what I wanted to do. I know that I give a good product. So I've just got to instill it in everyone to understand why I get angry sometimes or why I get frustrated sometimes. And that sort of has, I only have really blown my stack once. And that is pretty good for me. And so I just, I've just got to be really careful on and just explain, this is why I do it, this is how I like to do it, this is how I would like everyone to do it, to the manager or to the head chef, and I will say it to them only and let it filter down from there instead of me having a meltdown at somebody that's down the line, because that just doesn't work. So I think everyone gets how I like things now. It's just, once you've got that core team, then you don't have to say those things again and again, because they know it. So then they pass it on. It's like building a little ecosystem. And then when the new ones come in, the other ones, how Marty doesn't like it done that way, he likes it done this way, so just make sure you do it this way. And so that's what's happening, and that's good, because then I don't get frustrated.
What advice do you have to share, Marty, from your experience at Short Grain and I suppose over the years in terms of opening a restaurant and hitting the ground running?
What advice do I have? It's easier. It's so easy. It's much easier when you're busy all the time, which we've been fortunate enough to be. So I suppose stock ordering and all of that's not difficult, because we're always ordering sort of the same thing all the time because we need to top up. And I suppose social media comes a lot into it now as well, where I suppose 20 years ago it wasn't really there. I try and be active on the social media. I'm actually going to hire a company to help me build my social media presence for Short Grain, not myself personally, but for Short Grain. And that's something that I'm sort of about to start doing, just to get out there to a wider audience, because obviously everyone doesn't know me or has been to Long Grain or whatever. So I suppose my advice is to just look at all the different avenues and try to set yourself a boundary where, okay, this is – or also don't open too many hours at the beginning. Open the hours that you can manage, and that will get you to the point of being able to turn over enough money to pay everyone and yourself and keep move forward, and then expand as you get busier and you get that clientele coming in. I suppose that is my advice. And also relinquish jobs that you hate. Don't do the bookkeeping if you hate doing it. get somebody to do it. It's money well spent. It really is. It's something that you don't have to think about, and get somebody that you can, that understands you and teaches you as well, which I'm doing, which I've done with a great bookkeeper, Therese, who, and Fiona, who work with me. I think it's really important to have those people to back you up. It's great to have them to talk to as well. If you're feeling, you know, that you're struggling, to say, so, you know, what can we do? Because if you hire somebody as a bookkeeper that works in restaurants, they'll have an answer for you. And you can take the answer as advice, or you don't have to, but it's nice to be able to have a conversation with somebody that's not, even though they're part of your restaurant, but they're not there every day. They're not a working person, but it's also, it's just good to have that convo, have that option to have a conversation with that person. Yeah.
One thing that, you know, you've also mentioned changes that you've made in terms of, you know, whether it's taking bookings or changing the menu structure. I mean, how do you know if you just, I don't know, need to do something better or whether you need to do it differently?
I think the restaurant tells you. And you listen to people. You don't have to listen to every single person. If you listen to too many people, your head's just going to go crazy. But I listen to a few friends, and yeah, and then I think about it, and then I instigate it if I think I need to, or I'll just leave it and just try and observe it for a little while longer before I make a decision. I don't jump at decisions too quickly, because I don't like to change things too often or too quickly, because sometimes it might be an irrational decision, and then that's a real muck up. So I just don't do things too quickly. I have to think about it a bit and ask a few people, and ask the people that are that ask the manager, ask the head chef, you know, and not have too many other people around to dilute stuff. Just stick to your core people. Because I'm working with pretty young people as well. I'm really old, considering all the other people around me are probably in their mid-20s or early 30s. Yeah, and it's good to be surrounded by young people, because they've got different ideas and things that work and things that they – and they enjoy working with me too, because I know what – you know, I've done it before, and they're learning from me. But I'm also learning from the young ones. And I think that's really important.
What do you love most about the restaurant?
I love the feel of it. It feels good. I feel very – I'm happy to go there every day. I really am. It's got a good feeling. It feels good in the daytime, and it's nice. It's really – it's beautiful at night. And I'm really proud of that, that it looks good in both lunch and dinner. Because sometimes when you see a restaurant in the daytime, it doesn't look half as good as what it does in the evening. And, yeah, it's wearing in really well. Really, really grateful to the builders that they did a really good job. And nothing's broken, nothing's worn out, nothing. Yes, it's that's what I love the most. I love the feel of it.
I'm so happy for you and, you know, for your team and your customers. I remember early on when we spoke, you talked about going in there when it was a shell and sitting on the floor and just, you know, imagining what could be created there. And look at you, you've done it.
I did it in under a year.
That's amazing. So good.
I know. This time last year, I think I might have signed the lease about this time last year. And stick to your vision. Do not deviate from the vision. Just do what you think will work, and it will. If you're really adamant that that's how it's going to be, do what you love, the money will come, is something that somebody said to me once, and I say that to myself often. Well, often when that was the farm. When I had the farm, I used to say, do what you love, the money will come, because I'm thinking, where is that money going to come from in downtown Sackville on the Hawkesbury River? But it did. It did. It all worked.
I love it, Marty. It's excellent to have a really positive story coming out of hospitality at the moment, because they are not all like that. I'm really thrilled for you that it's going so well. And once again, I'm grateful to you for being so open. And I look forward to future stories about people coming to Short Grain because of this podcast.
Yeah, no, and honestly, it's that was very a really lovely story, and she was such a sweet lady. So, she's a big fan of yours. So, yeah, you've got big fans out there, Danny. So, yeah, keep on doing the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for being part of it and enabling me to share your story. So we'll catch up with you soon, Marty. I cannot wait to get back there and sit in that lovely room.
Thank you.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.